Then we meet the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. Verse 18. Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. It says here in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And we thank God that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, as we see here, is He has sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. And we are going in a new series on the brokenhearted, healing of the brokenhearted. And I believe it's one of the important things that we need the Spirit of God to touch our lives. For unless we are healed in our inward man, we will continue to be what the old man is and the old person that we were. And part of walking with the Spirit of God is to be able to taste of this healing virtue of His to heal the brokenhearted. Now, every one of us, if we have been in any place in life, would have some sort of brokenness in us. Whether we have a broken heart because of relationship, we have a broken heart because of our former life and sin, or we have a broken dreams, or broken visions. We have broken things in our life that need God to fix us. And if there's any other person that we should come to have it fixed, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are on this series, on the new series on healing the brokenhearted. And one of the important things on this series is what I call transformation of Christian character. All of us need to be transformed in our Christian character. All of us are walking in different degrees with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not perfect yet, neither is anyone around us. And all of us face our battles and all of us face our difficult times. And so in this series, I may share some of my difficult things that I go through, that I struggle to find the balance and to find the way to walk in love. So when I share, if you think I'm talking about you, no, I'm not talking about you. It will be probably someone in the Bible. So happened to be like you. So when we share this healing of the brokenhearted, bear in mind that the whole purpose of this series is transformation. That all of us will be transformed to walk the Christ life that He wants us to walk. All of us struggle in different things to have the love of God flow out through our life. And some of the things that are difficult for me may be easy for you. Some of the things that be easy for you may be difficult for me. So every one of us have our battles and struggles. And in my Christian life, especially when I was new in the ministry, and sometimes still struggle with that, one of the hardest things that I find, you know, I try to practice the love of God. Believe me, I try all the time. And I do it as much as God enables me to practice the love of God. One of the most difficult situations to practice the love of God is sometimes when you come face to face with a person who you know has been speaking bad about you behind your back. It's one of the most difficult. Your flesh has to die, and you just got to keep, you know, having a loving attitude to the person. Especially when you know it's not true. And you say, why doesn't this person come direct? And I'm sure every one of you face some of those situations. You all look like holy saints, and that's never happened to you. Right? So every one of us face those situations and things. We all have rubbings. We all have things that we rub with one another. But most of the time, in the end, it comes to this. You can never blame another person for your attitude. You can never blame circumstances for who you are. In the end, it is we who need to change. It is we who need to be transformed. And God will keep bringing those situations into our life until all that flow out is the love of God. And one of the parables that helped me a lot was one man of God called Sadhu Sundar Singh. And Sadhu Sundar Singh was one of the great saints of God that I admire. He's an Indian saint and he wears a turban and a great missionary. He's known as a barefoot apostle. And he says that when things happen to us and when all things happen to us, we should be like the fruit tree. Little children come and they throw stones at a tree, they throw sticks at a tree, and trying to get the fruit from the tree. And when the stones and the sticks are thrown at the tree, you know, sometimes you see the fruit high up, children throwing sticks, stones, using sticks to shake the fruit down, and all kinds of things, like almost torturing the fruit tree. You never find that the fruit tree get angry and, you know, sways one of its branches over the child and just drops a branch, boom, and kills a child. No, at no time. But every time, all the fruit tree does is it yields fruit. It yields the fruit. And the fruit drops and the little child catch hold of the fruit and enjoys the fruit and runs away, forgetting the tortured tree. And so that helps me a lot to remember that whatever happens, we should try to let the love of God come forth in our life. And we have to die to self to let the love of God come forth. And the question is, why sometimes the love of God finds it difficult to come out? Because inside each one of our heart, we need to be healed. Our hearts need to be made whole. You cannot love unless you have been loved. You cannot help unless you have been helped. And so let's look at one Bible example this morning as a start in this series. The book of Acts chapter 8. And here is a story of a man called Simon. In some translation, they call him Simeon. They add an E to his name. The book of Acts chapter 8. And some background about Simon the magician. In Acts chapter 8. Simon the magician, and this is his background in verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. So that was his background. He is definitely one who seeks attention. He is definitely an entertainer and a performer. Plus, he has a background of witchcraft and sorcery. And that was Simon before he was born again. And in verse 10, many people gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And of course, those are false sorcery and all those occult things. He hasn't come to know God yet in verse 10. So everyone was saying how great this Simon was and what a great person he was. And he must have been enjoying all this limelight that was coming to him. And then in verse 11, they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. And that tells you that he has been in the sorcery, the art of sorcery, and an entertainer for many, many years. So that was his background, that was his life. Along comes Philip the evangelist. Comes to the town where Simon the magician was a sort of show-off and an entertainer. And here comes Philip the evangelist. And Philip just preached the gospel. And there are signs following. People were healed, people were touched, people were born again. And so Simon realized this is another power that he has never encountered before. And then in verse 12 it says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Verse 13, Simon himself also believed. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip. So you can see things happening. He was born again. And he was baptized in water. So obviously, without any mistake or misinterpretation, we know that Simon is now a born-again Christian. And Simon has been baptized in water. So if you have any doubts that he was born again, when he got into water baptism, surely you would realize that that Philip and all the other Christian leaders at that time would not have baptized someone who was not born again. So obviously they accepted the fact that he was born again. He was a convert to Christianity by that time. And they put him into the waters of baptism. So here he was, a young Christian with an interesting background. And in spite of all these things, we see here in verse 13, he believed, he was baptized, and he continued with Philip. That means he keeps staying close to Philip to observe all those things going on. And he must be struck with all the power of God. People were healed. People were delivered. Demons were cast out. And he was following Philip and saying, wow, what, this is something he has never seen before. Something new to him. Because in all his sorcery, there's no mention of healing. In all his demonstration, all the attention was going to himself. Just for attention. He hasn't seen such power before. And he himself was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. He was amazed. And in the meanwhile, while hundreds of people were born again and baptized in water, and they continue, the Jerusalem church heard about what was happening in Samaria and sent two apostles. They sent Peter and John. So Peter and John came down to Samaria to look at what's going on. And then they realized that these Christians have been born again. They've been baptized in water. But they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They need the power of the Spirit coming upon them. So we are told in verse 15, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For verse 16, as yet he has fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had not been baptized in the Spirit. And so they started laying hands on the new Christians and praying for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit started filling their life. Now remember, Simon was among them. And Simon must have deduced, whatever Philip was doing, he must have been doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew that there was the Holy Spirit. And so he suddenly, here comes Peter and John, and they started imparting what he saw to be an ability to do what Philip did. The power of the Holy Spirit. And so Simon came to the apostles. In verse 18, we are told, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. And the Bible tells us, he offered them money to receive this power. He not only wants the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants the power to impart the power. He wants to be able to pray for others to have the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. In verse 19, he says, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So he wants to control this power. He was born again, baptized in water. I'm not sure whether he was baptized in the Spirit yet, but he's definitely a Christian. Born again. And this is what he says. And notice the words of Peter in verse 20. Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Now this is a description of a Christian, not a non-Christian. So this verse proves to us that it is possible to be born again, even baptized in water, even walking with the Lord for some time, even reading the Bible, and yet have these things that are still not fully right in the sight of God. And they have to be dealt with. Let's look at the situation for a while. Simon didn't know that what he was doing was wrong. You see, all his life, he has always bought power.
He must have paid a lot of money to learn all the tricks of sorcery.